Hey, Jen.
Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
We can hear you.
Making the magic over here, trying to get my lighting right.
Yeah, Jordan, I owe you an apology. People texted me and said that I was really mean to you yesterday about your lighting.
Hey, thank you, everybody. Appreciate that.
Well, I mean, your lighting's fine. It for some reason on the Zoom call it looks darker, and then when we process it looks fine. And so just disregard anything I say.
I don't really trust your eyes anymore.
Well, that's probably a good call. But you know, also like it's like I'm trying to control what the podcast is going to be and what it's going to look like and what we're going to say. And that it just doesn't work that way. I'm 52 and I'm still trying to learn that I can't control everything. And I've got to just let people be creative, do their own thing.
Well, I'm glad I have a little army.
Yeah, you have up for me. We got a Driggers army out there, Jen. We had people complaining that I was mean to him yesterday about his lighting, and I was mean to you as well about being outside. But I guess they don't know that I'm just mean.
Yeah, I guess they just don't know you, Harry. That's all. They'll learn. They'll learn.
Well, that's what the podcast is about, because I think people think that I'm a lot nicer and cooler than I am, and this is going to disavow them of that illusion. Jen.
Yeah.
Good roundup today on the bottle issue that AB is having, because we've been reporting on can shortages, obviously, all year, last year, too. Now we have the bottle issue because their main supplier was hacked. Hacked seems to be the forthcoming word of the hour.
Right.
In the industry right now. And so we covered two really exclusive stories today. One was the bottle shortage for AB. That's surprisingly to me, it seems like it's going to extend through the rest of the summer.
Yeah, pretty much until Labor Day, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much every problem we have right now is not going to be solved until we get our first cold front. You know?
Right.
No.
You can go back where you came from.
I saw something yesterday, an article or video or something, where this guy, he lives in his Tesla, and he's figured out that he got grandfathered in where he gets free supercharging. So he lives in his Tesla for free. And he's like, I get free air conditioning, free room, free place to sleep. I don't pay for gas. I don't pay for oil. And he's like, I just have the best life. He just lives with his dog and his Tesla.
Harry's autobiography.
No, I mean, it's inspired me. Like, that sounds, I mean, I'll keep my apartment just to, you know, I have to have my stuff. All this, I don't want to get rid of all this nice stuff.
I would have to go at a Christie's auction.
Yes, all the dregs that my ex-wife didn't want is basically what is in this apartment. What, she didn't want the Barca lounger that folds? Biscuit, where'd you?
Biscuit.
Treasures in the folds of the Barca lounger. Mm-hmm. But nice. I'm with you, Harry. Like, even though I hate the Tesla, we have an ex, and during COVID, when I couldn't go and work anywhere, like, you know, I love to be among the people. I would drive to Starbucks, and then I would sit in my Tesla in the parking lot for 3 hours working and drinking my coffee, you know, wave to the people who were driving by.
Yeah, as your office. I honestly, I do a lot of work in my car. I usually every day, every afternoon, I take the dog. We go to the park, and I sit in the car and let her run around, and I get some work done. And then I drive about 100 yards and she chases me, and that's her exercise. Originally I was going to run behind her or with her, you know, I run 100 yards a day. And then I hurt my shoulder and other things. And so now she just chases the car.
So I imagine you like with a leash that extends from the driver's seat of the Tesla to where Biscuit is walking, and you're just slowly driving along.
Let me tell you something, Jen. Biscuit has never had a leash on her, and she never will. Biscuit is fully trained. Right, Biscuit?
Bye, Biscuit.
All right, back to bottles.
Back to bottles.
And so Here's the thing about, I thought it was interesting too, that somebody pointed out, of course, but that's just going to put more stress on the can supply.
Yeah.
As if you have an out of stock in bottles, people are just going to switch. And so it's a never, so here's the thing that's interesting to me, because I think it was surprising to me. Why is every supplier having a shortage? Okay. Let's forget about aluminum for a second and glass. They're still having problems fulfilling. And the difference between being at 80% capacity and being 100% capacity is huge. Like, it's the difference between, you know, being at 60 and 80 is not that much, but 80 to 98 is huge. That's when it really puts stress on the system. It's also when you make the most money. So that's why brewers are so profitable once you get past that fixed cost point, right? Once you pay your electricity and lights and insurance and your employees and all of that, everything past that is profit. Once you brew that past that, that's why I think it was Rich Doyle at Harpoon that he told me that, like, the difference between selling 20,000 barrels a year and 100,000 barrels a year is chicken shit and chicken salad. You know, it's like you lose money at 20 grand and then you really don't start making money till you get to, like, I don't know, 40,000 barrels. And then it really starts ginning money, but then you have to reinvest to build up. So it's a never ending process, right? But that's a different subject. But the point is that everybody's running at full capacity. Like Gavin said, in today's issue, we're selling a million. We're not selling. We're producing a million barrels a month right now.
A week.
I'm sorry. Yeah, of course. A week. And he goes, we only did that 1 or 2 weeks last year, and we're doing it every week right now. And you may be saying, well, why? We're not selling more beer than last year. We're selling about the same amount. The reason is there's no inventory in the trade. So right. there's no buffer. So if, you know, usually if you're a little late on some shipments, that's fine, because the distributor has, you know, 20 or 30, 25 days of inventory in the warehouse. Plus you have trade inventory that's out in the counts and, you know, all of that. Well, there's none of that. There's no buffer. And so, if you're cutting shipments, then you're getting out of stocks. You're not just getting low inventory. So it's not a problem for any of these suppliers. It's going to be fixed until late August. It's because there is no chance when you're running at 100% capacity to do anything about it.
Yeah.
Except collect money. And that's the thing. And what we're talking about here, I think, is lost on some people, is the difference between shipments and depletions. And shipments is this, I know most people know this, but we have a lot of young people on the podcast. That's why I like to explain things out a little bit. But, you know, shipments are sales from the brewery to the distributor. That's how the brewery gets paid. Depletions are the sales from distributors to the retailer. That's how the distributor gets paid. And so when we see Gavin say, we're going to have flat earnings for the whole year, and I say, how can that be when you lost so much displaced sales in the first quarter due to the Texas freeze and the hacker incident? You don't gain that consumption in the third quarter.
Right.
However, what thing I missed and that Gavin pointed out is that, yeah, that may be true, but back when we had these problems, we had inventory. And so we blew through trade inventory. So now we're running at no inventory. And so we can make those sales up in the third quarter just by filling the pipeline and filling inventory when we can, when we're not running at 100%. So, selling everything we make, in other words. So as long as demand stays constant, Molson Coors can ship more beer in the third and fourth quarters to make up for what they lost in the first quarter. And as Gavin points out, nobody sells any beer in the first quarter anyway. So it's easy to make it up in the second and third quarter, especially, you know, over the summer. And so far, so good. Memorial Day, I think, was pretty good. But we also covered Gavin's speech at Evercore's conference yesterday that Robert Ottenstein puts out, which is pretty good. Gavin you know, also, what were we talking about?
About shipments and Memorial Day. And
Memorial Day. Memorial
Day was pretty good. It was okay. Good for seltzer. And also comps are strange, but.
Yeah. And okay. So the other thing I thought was interesting is what Gavin said about on-premise. And Jordan, you had mentioned this earlier in the week or last week, but on-premise is roaring back much faster than anybody anticipated. And even in places like, you know, Chicago and New York and maybe even California starting to, and what Gavin indicated is like, we thought that there'd be 20 to 25% of on-premise accounts that wouldn't come back. But really that number, he said, is turning out to be 5 to 10%. So much lower percentage of accounts much higher percentage of accounts that are coming back. I think the reason that obviously is twofold. The PPP loan carried a lot of people through and government stimmy checks as well. You know, the on-premise establishments that are there, and this has been said many times, the only problem they have is getting staff. And as stimmy checks start to fade out, I think that'll fix itself throughout the summer. Boy, that Kush period we had is over. I mean, I went out to get dinner last night just by myself, and I had to walk to three different restaurants because they were packed. It was 9 o'clock at night, and yeah. It was packed. I mean, that wasn't before the pandemic. It was never that crowded around here on a Wednesday night. So it's definitely people are out, and I think consumption overall is going to be high this year, even though 2020, as Brandy pointed out, was the biggest year in 20 years. I think 2021 is going to be even better for all three categories. And the reason I say that is because off-premise scans, well, we have these terrible comps that we're up against. So obviously those are down. But if on-premise is roaring back and off-premise is still a little bit up, right, mm-hmm. even if it's only 1 or 2%, well, it's all gravy, right? That's great. If we can keep off-premise to be up and then on-premise coming online, wow, it's going to be hot girl summer squared. And let me tell you, there are, when I say hot girl summer, you know, what I mean is that everybody is so cooped up and so eager to get out and start fornicating that if you go online and on Twitter and stuff, you can just see the indications of that already happening. And it's only early June. Mid-June. And, you know, I saw there were two people in a bar in Corpus Christi, Chanel Gulf Coast hometown. there's a video online of two people just actively fornicating in the corner of the bar, just screwing and sucking and whatever in the bar.
What website were you on?
somebody sent it to me.
Remember the hacking, don't click that.
I know that's another thing that we need to point out is that the distributors, a lot of them are saying, well, you know, we have the best security money can buy. We've overspent on it. There's nobody getting into our system. Hey, buddy, there's no amount of money you can spend to keep all of your employees from clicking on a phishing exactly. Dumbass email. And I got an email or text today from a distributor who was shut down for 3 days. Because one of his employees clicked on an email that looked exactly like an email from Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
And that, you know, why wouldn't you click on it? And he was like, he was an older employee. Well, okay, you would have clicked on it too, probably. So, you know, phishing expeditions is the easiest way to get into a system. And that's what's happening, what I've been hearing. And he ran his entire company from his laptop using a VIP in the cloud. For 2 days before, and they were screenshotting and writing out orders on, you know, paper bags and shit. I mean, we got orders out, but it was tough and he didn't pay a ransom. He just basically created a brand new system in 48 hours. And then he had cloud computing locally. So at least his backups were up there. So anyway, these are the time of challenges that the distributors are increasingly facing. And like I said, we'll have a speaker on that at the DPS. Next month, that we'll cover that in depth. So, And we'll be announcing, by the way, our speakers later, or probably Monday, because Jessica's off this week, and I didn't want to have her come back on Monday to 50,000 messages. So I pushed out the announcement of speakers 1 week to Harry Cares, hashtag.
Yeah.
Don't y'all agree? I mean, the boss of the world's greatest boss.
Well, the evil you don't know need is worse than the evil you know. So, yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I like that when she left, she went to work for another guy named Harry. And she's like, I didn't think there could be a bigger asshole.
Exactly.
Named Harry. But I soon found out the grass ain't always greener. Now, the one thing, and I know I promised this would be short. The one thing I do like about the daily podcast is that at least the three of us and sometimes Sarah get to talk every day at least. I mean, this is good even if we weren't recording it, I think. And I promise I will keep it to 30 minutes. And also you don't have to be on it every day. Like if you're busy and you can't do it, just send me a text. Like, I can't do it today or just don't show up or it doesn't matter. I can do it completely by myself. In other words, so don't be like you have to do it every day. But I like having you guys on as much as you can do it. All right. Again, keeping in line with our habit of talking about the strategy of the podcast during the podcast.
Yeah, let's talk to you.
I was listening to yesterday's or editing it, and we spent a good 15 minutes talking about how the podcast should work during the podcast. This way, we don't have to have an extra meeting.
True.
All right, guys. We did
kind of get all on the same page through this. It is nice.
Yeah. What are we working on for tomorrow? I don't know. The one thing about talking about what we're working on is that doesn't it telegraph to our competitors what we're working
on? Yeah. And also,
it's going out the next day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
No, that's true. Yeah.
So I'm still working with McGreevy. There's a hearing today in New Jersey, so I'll talk to Jim after that. What else we got going? Anything?
Yeah, it looks like that hearing is going to be at 6 o'clock Central.
Okay. Yeah. So we're going to have kind of a late deadline. But I can work. I don't have anything going on tonight.
We have other stuff, too. I've got some Dos Equis stuff, their new lime and salt, and variety packs done really well in Texas. And then actually have, and I emailed this lawyer who was at she's a BevOps lawyer who was at the retailer conference last week. And she kind of did a quick and dirty around the world post COVID regulations and fallout type thing. And one of the things she covered was I mentioned this to you, the hacking stuff. And apparently, and this was a retailer audience, apparently, obviously there's litigation going on over this. So her advice was, need to lawyer up and have a specialist, especially if you're in a place like California. Somebody on your team needs to know about privacy law and all this kinds of stuff. So we've got a little bit of stuff. We won't be totally, sunk if we can't get to the hearing tonight, although the hearing's probably the most newsworthy thing.
Yeah, I want to cover it because everybody else will cover it tomorrow.
Yeah.
So it does suck that we, for our readers, we have a 4:30 a.m. Eastern time deadline for Beer Business Daily. And so a lot of times news breaks late in the evening. And if we want it to be in that newsletter, we have to work at night. And hey, for our customers, we will go that extra mile. That's just part of being a daily. It's part of trying to publish at the same time in the morning every day. Most of the time we try and get it out by 4:30. In fact, I was up this morning. And I saw it come through. I like to see it come through because on the app, it makes that cool noise. It goes like a bottle opening. It goes, psh,
yeah.
Psh. By the way, speaking of, if you don't have the Shoe Pub app, it's free. Go download it. It works on iPhone, iPad. It works on Android. And once you download it and put in your password, you can have access to all the publications in one spot. Makes it easy. And it has other features like when we do publish, it sends a little sound. Kapush, which is pretty cool. All right. I like it when people say ite these days. I appreciate it. It was a good week, and it's only going to get better with our flow. And I'm excited about our guest on Monday.
Oh, yeah. We need to send him the link.
Okay. I'll set that up. When do you want to do it? At 1 or 1:30?
Whatever is fine for y'all. Either is fine for me.
Yeah. Same.
It's 1:30. No, I think I told Rob 1.
We'll just do it at 1. I'll set it up. Yeah. Will you send me some work on him? I've met him, but I just don't know a lot about night shift except from what I've read.
I think we can talk a lot about, you know, them just having their fingers and everything and how that has kind of like shifted their view of things too. Because you think about a tiny craft brewer with a bunch of tap rooms in Boston and then getting into the distribution business. You got to have a serious change Cajones. Of perspective on things once you get into the middle tier and you see. And I think there's a lot we can talk to him just about how his...
I would like to ask him about that because distribution is a completely different game, as you just said, and it's the dirty game, not dirty in like... I mean, it can be dirty and like crime, but what I mean dirty, I mean, it's not glamorous in that, you know, you're out there getting dirty, literally getting dirty and hot and sweaty. And it's a different culture too. That will be interesting. There's not a lot of brewers that are in all that doing everything. Stone, yeah. I guess, and a few others.
I think that'll be a good conversation.
What's happened to Beer Jesus? Is he still around?
He's still around.
Good life.
Yeah.
He's getting into seltzers and everything else now.
He is?
Yeah, they did. They announced the seltzer on April Fool's Day, and it wasn't an April Fool's joke.
Right.
Wonder if they did that on purpose so that it's... Like if people reacted bad, they could say, "Oh, it was just a joke." Jen, what is a supplier that's out there that's a little under the radar that's really kicking ass that we're not, maybe is undercovered? I mean, we covered
Athletic, Geloso, all those we covered.
That was a gem in the rough. We uncovered that. Geloso. Nobody talks about them and they're kicking ass out there.
I need to check in with him actually. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah, yeah, we should.
Geloso's trends, it's always double digits. I mean, they're still growing steady. Double digits over last year's comps.
And it's been going on for 10 years. I mean, this is not a flash in the pan.
Yeah. Montucky is always chugging along too.
Montucky Cold Snacks.
Yeah. And they're about to open New Jersey and New York. So and he said, the guy told me that they haven't even opened the markets and there's like one of their top states for merch sales is New York. I can see them taking over the Brooklyn bar scene, right? Like the new PBR.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. I remember that I was in Montana when that brand happened to come out and I saw it behind the bar and I was like, I was with Kimberly Clements. I go, what is Montucky? What the hell? And she goes, oh, we call Montana Montucky because it's kind of redneck and it rhymes with, you know, Kentucky. I was like, oh, I didn't know that. And then Montucky. And then I was like, what is Cold Snacks? She was like, oh, that's what Montanans call beer. So,
what a great name though.
Yeah.
And what a great story. Again, I'm going to bring my mother in next week to tell just equally fascinating and scintillating stories like that. She's got some good stories. Just getting them out of her in a sequence that matters and is intelligible is the issue. The key to getting a good story out of my mother is to get about 3/4 of a bottle of Chablis in her or Chardonnay, really. Get that? That third glass in her, when she gets halfway through the third glass, she starts really cranking up the stories. Once she gets done with the fourth glass, the stories are they're not intelligible. I'm mixed about whether I'd rather have people watch it on YouTube or listen on Apple.
I don't think it matters as long as they're listening.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. I think you get a little more out of it by watching it because we do have
visuals.
You know, we have visuals. Thank you. Thank you. So one of my goals this summer is to, my brain function, as y'all know, has been debilitated after COVID, and I need to start doing like puzzles, like crossword puzzles and shit. Yeah.
Little brain teasers.
Yeah. Sudoku. Or I don't know. Maybe I'll just go to the park and take Biscuit for
Play chess with some old men at the park while Biscuit runs around.
That's not bad. I wish I could play. I love when you see old men playing checkers. I'm like, you know, that's a game for children, right? I mean, it's like playing tic-tac-toe. Does anybody really lose at tic-tac-toe?
Somebody.
I mean, you have to be a complete moron. And it's the same with checkers. There's no strategy at checkers. We're all playing checkers while Diageo plays chess.
Okay. I think on that note, I gots to work.
So anyway, Jen, like I was saying, all right, guys, I can take a hint. All right, listen, have a good weekend. Well, I'll talk to you tomorrow, and thank you for drinking beer. Okay. Ciao. Adios. Sayonara. See ya.